Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina Israel with an edition of Members of a Better World and their radio show. We'd like to say welcome to everyone, and we are going to play one of their songs for us, and we're waiting for them to come on board, and I hope you like it. Here we go.
Shall be given. Seek it.
All right, shalom, shalom. I'm going to open up the mic now for Prince Asiel. Shalom, shalom, Prince Asiel. How are you? Shalom, shalom. Are you there?
The prince isn't on yet. This is Prince Asiel.
This is Prince Asiel. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, sis?
I'm fine. I keep getting you guys' phone numbers mixed up. I did have someone from area code 404 that also pushed one. But if you're going to host the show, we'll wait for Prince Asiel. Let Adonai say hello to everyone, and then we're going to just listen. Adonai, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonai. Hey, that music is powerful, boy. You trying to say?
I'm trying to say Yah is with us.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Yah is with us. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We got some music for you. We done started up for the last 50 years waiting on this time. So first of all, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to Spiritual Alternatives, A Better World with the Nation of Yehuda on this wonderful and most powerful radio program. And we thank Brother Adonai and Sister Yanina and her cast of wonderful revolutionaries who have listened to the mandate of Yah Yisrael through the bloodline of King David and have stood for Yah in this day and time. Hence is the reality and the foundational reality of this relationship between us and you, and we certainly have been honored by our interactions and our conversations with one another up until this point, and we really appreciate you allowing us to share our thoughts and on our meditations with you on every Tuesday on this wonderful Blog Talk Radio show. So, I think that. And also, we're waiting for Prince Asiel to get on the line, and I think we have Minister Elianai on the line. Is that correct?
I haven't seen him push one yet. I had someone from Erico 404 push one, but they took it off, so maybe he has to continue. If you're on the line and you're supposed to be a co-host, oh, there he is. Hold on one moment. I'll get him right on. Erico 404, go ahead, join the air.
I'm back. This is Mr. Elianai down here in Atlanta, Georgia. Greetings and peace.
This is one of our budding ambassadors understudying Prince Asiel to be able to move around the world and articulate from a spiritual and intellectual perspectives our positions as it relates to the development of our world. The development of the African Hebrew Israelite nation of Jerusalem, and he certainly is qualified. He's been training now, and he's going to be talking with us today. And what I'd like to do before we get into this is to go back to the song, Father, I'm Home. The beauty of Father, I'm Home, and I just want to tell this little story, if it's all right. I was born in Bermuda, and my stepfather was in the service and brought me here to America. And one of the ways he used to punish me for not being his son was, as far back as I can remember, he used to make me watch the news. Because he liked to watch the news. So he made me sit there and watch the news when everybody else was looking at cartoons or whatever. We'd be watching the news. And every day that I watched the news, you got to go back to the 50s, Israel was in the news every day without fail. So I grew up listening to the politics in Israel, the movements of the Israelis and the world's reaction to the occupation of the land and all of that. That's what I grew up with. So when I met Prince Asiel after I came off the road with the Manhattans, it was just he didn't have to convince me because it had been embedded in my soul. So something that looked like it was the negative, it was an ultimate positive, and I wouldn't find out till later on. One day, I think this was about my third time going to Israel, I was on the bus, bringing us into Dimona. It was all these mountains and everything, and I kept saying that I've seen these mountains and everything before. And what I remembered later on was that when I was coming up, I used to do poetry, and I used to draw pictures. And the pictures I used to draw all the time were pictures of mountains with birds flying and the sun and all of that. And I was sort of asleep while the bus was going into Dimona, and it dawned on me that this vision had been in my mind since I was a child, and I was drawing this vision of these mountains and the birds and the sunshine and the various, you know, camels and all of these types of things. I used to draw these things when I was a little kid. So I'm just saying all that to say that the song came out of that. Long winding roads leading everywhere. Through trial and error, we try to find our way, hoping and praying someday that we'll all be free from these bonds of uncertainty. Sometimes I wish I could fly away to another time and place where I could wear my own face. But at last, I open my heart to these words of time. Asking, it shall be given. Seeking, ye shall find. Father, I'm home. It took me a while to get there, but I'm finally home. And so it was so good to see everybody's smiling face, because I had been looking for that place all of my life. And so my spirit had come to rest. And that's what the song represents for all of us, whose spirits, like yours, Sister Yanina and Adonai and Minister Elianai on the phone, and I think Prince Elram is on the phone too, right?
He is, but we do have, I think Prince Asahel is on the line as well. Let me see if I can get him on the line. And I see Prince Elram's number from Washington, D.C., and if you're out there, would you please push 1? So that we can open up your mic. One moment. I think this is Prince Asiel.
Okay. We ready for
him? Absolutely. This is Prince Asiel.
Mighty Prince. All right.
Well, all I can say is that you articulated the desires of all of our hearts so that we could wear our own face and be in another time and place, and we're there. And I want to say thank you to the Yehuda Nation, under the leadership of our great sister, Yanina, to be faithful enough to prepare people to receive that which you articulated in song and music, to say we're here. And this program is designed to have a spiritual understanding of what people have always been praying for, believing in. The only way that that place could exist, Prince Amiel, is that people had to get up and go and lay that foundation. And in the beginning, things don't always look like they're going to do in the end, but you got to dig that hole, that foundation, in order to strengthen it so that the building will stand. So, yes, I'm here for you, and I'm ready to engage in dialogue and conversation.
I have also your the brother from Erico 202. He's on the line as well.
Prince L. Rob.
Yes, sir.
We're glad you could join us today. You're listening to the hosts of the Spiritual Alternatives, a Better World. So we'd like for Prince L. Rob to weigh in. All right, brother.
Well, I just want to first greet everybody with peace and blessings and say, again, we are grateful to the host for allowing and creating and sustaining the forum. And we also, to Prince Amiel, and I'm announcing it to all within my hearing, he's also known as the National Treasure. So those songs that help to lift our spirits and to help to motivate us and guide us and keep us on the path have been sent from God, and so that's why he also wears that title along with Prince. So, not to mention, you know, an outstanding intellect. I'll throw that out, but I'm sure the listeners are well aware of that after last week's program and the beginning of this program. So it's a blessing and a privilege to be able to participate, not to, and ready to weigh in on the pertinent issues so that we can come to a better and a clearer understanding so that we can do for ourselves what we say we want to do for ourselves. And at this point, we want to be free to determine our own destiny.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're talking about manifest destiny, sovereignty, all of these things that a people in this day and time would be focusing on. Because this has to be the focus of our people, to unify and plant ourselves in the earth and on the earth as a legitimate people, not under the dictates of others, not perpetuating the culture of others, but guiding and directing our own destiny, the destiny of our children and our children's children to come. So, Asiel, we'd like for you to expound on that for us.
First of all, thank you, and shalom, uvaraka, peace and blessings to all those that are listening. This is not a radio program about Hebrew Israelites. This program is about the people of the world who have been seeking truth, justice, peace, mercy, and love so that we could identify those people who have been born and destined to be an example in this earth so that the people of the various lands in the world will learn how to live in harmony with both the creation and the created. And so I wanted to share that the whole point of Judah nation was, when you read it, one of the scriptures in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis is that unto Judah shall the gathering of the people be. Starts off that Judah is like a young lion, and then at one point he becomes an older lion, and lioness too. They say, well, who will arouse him? Well, we are those who have been destined to do the arousal of the people of God across the planet. So Judah Nation, along with Better World, is fashioning those examples of what it's going to look like in the coming days. This is not a sprint, but this is a distant run. And we are capturing the integrity of the Spirit of the Living God. We've traveled the lands of the earth, explaining to the people from corner to corner that we are part of the vanguard of the New World Order in order to bring justice. I was saying earlier that in 1883, during that time period, the European nations of the world decided to come together at the Berlin Conference in Germany to divide up Africa. Everybody was at the table except Africans, in seeing how they would do that and arouse the kind of support that was needed to, hold on 1 second, so that we could do what we needed to do on this earth. So I'm open so that I can discuss exactly how and what it is that must be done.
Yes, and so one of the things we'd like to do in some of our earlier discussions, there was an article that our brother, Prince L. Rahm, had sent us about a month or two ago that I felt that was pertinent and is also connects to the article that Sister Yanina sent us a while back about the tracing of the bloodline of the Ashkenazi Jew in Israel. And he had some very interesting points relative to the article that came out of a brother doing a treatment on Africa and the occupation of Africa. So if you could share that with us, a little bit of that with us, Prince El Ram, we can get the Prince Asiel to give us the understanding on that.
Okay, what I can do at this moment, because I'm mobile, is I can give you a synopsis. When I stop, I can read it, which will be about 10 minutes, but I don't want to slow the discussion down about it. I can give the details and the gist of what was written, if I should continue.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
Okay. The article was dated May 29th, 2014, and was written by a brother by the name of Renoko Rashidi. Now, I'm sure a lot of people in the audience are familiar with Renoko Rashidi. He's a renowned historian, and he's carrying on the tradition of keeping the true history of our people in front of us so that we can make better decisions and the correct decisions based on fact, as opposed to sentiment and romanticism. So he wrote a letter in which he gave an account of an encounter he had with a brother in the Dahomey Benin area of West Africa. And so the area, or it was a particular area, because an area of interest, because these houses were built on stilts. And to raise the houses above a water level that the people had to retreat to in order to protect themselves from enslavers. So the question from the head of the community to Renoko Rashidi, who was leading one of his tour groups — he leads tour groups all over the world to take Africans and whomever wants to go and be exposed to true history. He takes groups all over the world, and he's been over to over 100-plus countries. And I'm saying all that to give you an idea of the seriousness and the amount of information he has, the amount of experience he has, and the dedication that he has. So the head of the community they were visiting asked him why he had come. And he said he started into his usual spiel, and I'm almost paraphrasing him here, into his usual thing about, hey, we're African Americans. We returned home looking for our roots. We wanted to come back to our people and reunite because we had been, the story had been that we had been enslaved by Europeans, but African slavers came and got us and gave us to the Europeans, etc. And so the brother listened, and he was, you know, all of these things that we believe have either been taught or have either allowed ourselves through lack of research on our own to just believe as fact, and he repeated it. And so the brother listened politely, and then he said to them and to him that the reason you're in America is the same reason that we're here where you find us in this situation. We retreated here from the enslavers. And so you ended up in America, but we very well could have ended up in America too. Okay, and it had nothing to do with this myth of Africa was totally unified on a racial profile, and the Europeans came in and just snatched us out of Africa. That was not the understanding. And so he said after he heard that, he had to go and investigate for himself. He had to go and meditate because, that shook him up, because he'd been saying that so long he believed it himself. So he said he retraced his steps and went back and did all his historical notes and realities, and he came to realize that the question was, how is it, or how come we can't unify? Well, he said, he surmised that the point is that the reason we can't unify and get things done is because it's new. It's not something old. Africa was not a place that was totally unified based on us being Africans at that time, nor at this time either. That's why any of us who have traveled internationally have come and we've encountered degrees of difficulty, okay? But, again, this is new to all of us everywhere, this international, this worldwide unity based on the fact that we're African or that we're black, okay? And so that changed the whole paradigm and changed of our approach and what we say and the reasons that we give or the excuses that we give for our conditions, circumstances, and whoever was responsible for them. The truth is that it was one group of people, Africans, attacking another group of Africans for whatever reason, and it had nothing to do with this mythical universal unity of Africans everywhere. There was never a question. There was never the issue. The issue would be whatever beef you had with your neighbors, okay, that various things would happen. Or various retaliations would happen, etc.
Now, the reason that we wanted Nasik El Ram to read that article is that we call what we're doing a spiritual alternative and a different approach to history and understanding. So, as Judeans that are to gather the people, we first have to give the spiritual reason why it was permitted for us to go into captivity. I want two scriptures read to the hearing of the listening audience so that we could put this discussion in a prophetic spiritual perspective. I'd like for Prince Amiel to read the 83rd Psalms and then go to the 15th chapter of Genesis to begin to tie these in so that we can look at the contemporary history of the Atlantic Magazine article talking about reparations at this point for the African in America and the diaspora. So, Prince Amiel, would you read the 83rd Psalms for us, please?
Okay, the 83rd Psalm. And it reads on this wise, keep not thy silence, O God.
Keep not thy silence, O God.
And hold not thy peace. And be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. And they have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. And they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
First of all, now see, let me just jump in for a second. The Israelites had a special mission in the earth to be that example of what a people would live like, look like, prosper, if they expected the universal God to be giving them the benefits of following correct instructions on how to live. Go ahead, continue.
And it says, and they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee.
Now, this goes back to the article. There was a confederation against the people of God because after the Romans sacked Jerusalem in 70 A.D., coming from the north out of Tiberias, were driven into Egypt, and then along the east coast, they were driven into North Africa, and along the northern coast, that's why you find Jews in Morocco and and in all of those northern African countries, so that you will begin to put this puzzle together and find out how we got scattered all over the world. Then they went down into Nigeria. Then they went down the West Coast into Ghana. And you find even today that the Ashanti traced their roots back to Israel. We find in Sudan as they're going down the East Coast, that's why the Sudanese are coming into Israel today, because the Spirit is awakening all of these that have been sleep dormant in the lands in which they fled to. And so all of this information is to be gathered, and you're to do additional research so that you can verify and validate what we're sharing with you as spiritual truth, so that you don't simply look at the Bible as a religious book, but you look at the Bible as a documented history and validate all of the revealed information that the world have accepted as true. And our history, the Hebrew Israelite history, validates it to its perfection. So now I want you to go to 15th chapter of Genesis, starting at the 12th.
Okay. 15 and 12, Genesis. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of the surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance.
Now, back to you, Nasi El Ram. As we discussed this Atlantic article, what is the breakdown of what they are saying that the African brought to this shore? What is the number of years that they come to?
Between 430 and 435, I believe.
Now, let me ask.
Go ahead.
The first slave ship that left England left in 1562. It was documented, Good Ship Jesus, landing to the shores of the Caribbean in 1564. Exactly 400 years, 1 month, was the signing of the Civil Rights Act by Lyndon B. Johnson. Martin Luther King was over in his right, where it was the signing stating that they would stop segregation and change the acts and laws of civil rights. At that time, Texas still had slavery, but within the month prior to of the signing of the Civil Rights Act, it was to push an end of slavery in Texas, bringing exactly to 400 years exactly.
So you can see that the prophecies are accurate, as well as the documentation of our coming into the Western Hemisphere as human chattel, fulfilling the horrible dream. That's why it says, and lo, a horror came upon Abraham. When they said, know of a surety, know for sure that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them and afflict them 400 years. And afterwards, I will bring them back out. Now, 3 years later, we left here in 1967, heading back to the west coast of Africa, to the Republic of Liberia, one of the two countries where there was no slavery or no European domination. The other country was Ethiopia, that remained free from that Berlin conference. Now, I'm stating these things because when we went into Liberia, we went into 110 miles into the interior of the bush. And there we discovered a tribe identified as the Vai tribe. And the Vai tribe told us they root back to Israel. 110 miles. And in that bush area, we found Garveyites who helped us adjust to the land back in Africa. And from there, we start building the camp to begin to take roots as free men and free women under the banner of being Israelites, not just black Americans, black Americans returning from America, but Israelites in fulfillment of the prophecies. Now, that's 1967. In 68, Martin Luther King, fighting the civil rights struggle, declared to the world that God had allowed him to go to the mountaintop and look over and see the promised land. He said, I may not get there with you. But he declared, but we as a people will get to the promised land. That was April of 68. He was murdered the next day. The next month, May of 68, we landed in Israel for the first time in 2,000 years, redeeming the prophecies that we would land there, and the contemporary prophetic voice of Martin King declared that we was going to do it. After he had won the Nobel Prize for Peace, he took a trip to Israel and got permission to bring 5,000 African-American spiritual people to that land. But the Yom Kippur War broke out, the Six-Day War broke out in 67, and it prevented him from fulfilling bringing them to that land. We will go much further in this later, but we want you to make notes so that you can ask the questions that we are talking about this particular subject. And the reason we decided to share this is that you got to know that we are not just jumping up, making up as we go along what we are doing in terms of the redemption of God's people. That the Yehuda nation is not an act of a man or a woman. It is the prophetic fulfillment of the utterances of the sages of Israel being confirmed by us doing what we're doing in terms of expansion of the vision of God. So, Eli and I, you're right on point. Elron?
Yes.
That article goes on to state some eras of time. 250 years of chattel slavery, and what's the next breakdown? If you don't have that information available right this second, pull it up so that our listening audience will see what we did. And this is a challenge to the audience. How many years did we spend in ancient Egypt? I want somebody to call in and tell us the exact number of years that we spent in ancient Egypt. Now, back to the host. Sister Yanina, are there any questions or any comments you want to make at this point?
No, sir. I'm just listening and taking in all of the information because there's a lot of groups out there that feel as though the first ship that you spoke of earlier was actually a ship of servants, and that according to the documents of the United States, that the actual first ship landed in 1619. And there's a lot of people out here preparing for the 400-year journey to go back in 1619. So I don't. I'm just listening. I think it's all fascinating, all of it is.
Well, you see, we're not going to argue about who kept records accurately. we know that we were brought here, and those of us who are Israelites know that we came here in chastisement of the prophetic revelation that was revealed to Abraham prior to what took place in Deuteronomy that fulfilled it to the letter. So there's no argument. We intend to celebrate the resurrection of all of our people, whether it's 1619 as the date or whether it's 1564 as the date. All of these things are significant because we were moving, even in those early days, getting ready. See, you don't get ready the day that you get ready. You prepare before time. If you're going to be on time for 9 o'clock, you got to determine how far you got to go to be there at 9 o'clock. If you're 5 minutes away, you can leave in 5 minutes of 9 o'clock and get there. But if you're longer than an hour away, you got to leave. So I'm saying when we understand time prophetically as well as naturally, we'll understand that there are different time cycles for people moving to make sure that things are in place. I say to all of the people when they say, well, you went to Israel too early. How did you go to your own home too early? No such thing. You're going too early to go home? Somebody say, well, I'm due home at 6 o'clock, but I can't get there until 6 o'clock. No, you go home when you want to go home. And whatever you have to do to prepare for people who are coming at 6 o'clock, you go there to get the dinner ready. You don't invite people to dinner at 6 o'clock and you start cooking at 6 o'clock. Won't be no 6 o'clock dinner. It'll be a 7 o'clock dinner, an 8 o'clock dinner.
That's true. That is absolutely true. I think it's all fascinating, and the fact that we're even talking about it is phenomenal. And like you said, everybody's coming at different times, and it's just a beautiful thing. So anyone out there that has a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push one. I have a question for you, though.
Hello.
I was speaking to Brother Yedidiel today, and he was thank you so much, Yedidiel. And he was talking about the opportunities that were made available to us in Israel, and that a lot of people don't realize that there are jobs available for them in Israel right now through companies there if they're concerned about them being able to support themselves when they get home. Could you elaborate on that? And the second part is he also said that our educational degrees that we have here in America will substantiate themselves in the land as well.
Absolutely, but I want to answer it on a couple of levels. You see, what jobs were available when the people came from England to America, and what jobs were available for those who say that they were the founding fathers of America? And that's a rhetorical question because I want them to know that somebody had to come here before it was a job for anybody else who was coming after them to create. That's why you send scouts into the land. If you go back into the history of the Israelites, Moses sent out 12 scouts to spy out the land. He didn't just jump up and run over to the land that was promised or was told that would be promised. So 10 of them came back and said, it's giants in that land. And we were like grasshoppers in their sight. And then two of the men said, let's go up and take that land because God will give it to us. Well, you had two opinions of the same land that all 12 went into. Now, we know that any beginning is difficult. So that's why we went into the land early. We sent one brother up to the land in 1967, 68, to go spy out the land of Israel. We left him there at the kibbutz to learn the language so that he would know the ins and outs of how to navigate the political, the economic aspect of the land, so that when those came directly out of Liberia, they would have somebody who had been on the ground that know where the ministries are that would be dealing with incoming immigrants out of America and out directly out of Africa. And he had to work on a kibbutz to understand the structure of Israel and how the commune system worked in Israel and the kibbutz system, so that we would know how to collectively work together in Israel, so that when the people came who were individuals in America and who had been living in bush and in tents in West Africa and had to go dig wells for water to drink and had to make clothes on their hands, the men and the women, we had to have somebody that understood how to live in a modern-day country coming out of the bush of Africa. So I'm saying the question about jobs is, that's why the Creator sent the European Israelis, who felt they were Jews, the Americans who were supporting Israel, the Europeans who were supporting Israel, so that they would begin to build the infrastructure needed for the roads to be built, for the water to get to all parts of the country. So it, don't look at it as just the Israelites going in and doing all of this work. Remember, the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the God of Israel. And he created everybody and everything for his pleasure and for his achievements and goals. So that's the first thing. So depending on what your skills are, you're able to find the kind of work, the kind of education, the kind of economic development that you want to do. If it's a business generating millions of dollars, you can find it there, you can do it there. If it's a job working for minimal wages, you can find it there. So depending on what you want to do, you can find that reality there to do it. So I'm saying, don't be afraid to come now. We came there and did the heavy lifting, because we hadn't been back to that land in 2,000 years. But in these 46 years, we've been from one end to the other and then navigated the whole of Africa and the Isles of the Sea, as well as South America and Europe. So we set up bases in Europe, in South America, in Africa, in the Caribbean, so that when we start discussing these things, you will be able to know that there are people skilled to talk on every subject.
All right. I have a couple people who have pushed one. One moment, please. I'm going to go to area code 215. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. Good evening. I give honor to Prince Amiel, Prince Asiel, Prince Elron, all the princes on the line, the minister, and last but not least, Sister Yaina, for the work that you're doing that God has given you to do in this hour. So I thank you for that. My question is, how do you know? My question is to Prince Asiel. How do you know that the 400 years of captivity was now and ended in 1964, or was it when Moses led the people out? How do you know which one was which?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. Now, The first thing I want to say to you, do you know how many years, that's why I put the question out there, that we stayed in ancient Egypt?
I thought it was 400 years.
Well, I don't want you to guess because the scripture will tell you. So I want you to search the scripture and come back before this program is over if you find it and read it to me so that you'll know. But the second thing, the clue is that I know that it's not ancient Egypt, is that it says in the 68th chapter of Deuteronomy, Nasik Amiel, would you read the 68th verse of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy for me, please?
Okay, I'm going to it now. The 28th chapter?
Yes, sir. 68th verse.
68th
right.
Okay, hold on. Okay, in the 68th verse, it reads...
Speak into the telephone.
Okay. In the 68th verse, it reads, "And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again by ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you."
So it said you would go into Egypt again by ships. Well, Egypt and Israel is landlocked, so you don't take a ship from the Sinai to Egypt. If you cross in the Sinai, there was no way to take a ship because the Suez Canal wasn't dug then. It didn't take place until about 1864-65. So we know it wasn't talking about ancient Egypt as the place of bondage that you would go in again. It says again now, meaning it's going to be another Egypt. But the only way that they could identify America in those days, because it wasn't no America, is that they had to talk about Egypt as a place of bondage, where you would go in as bondmen or bondwomen or slaves. And so all of these are keys in which you're going to know that it wasn't ancient Egypt that Abraham was envisioning, because it was clarified in Deuteronomy, the 68th chapter. I mean, the 68th verse. Does that help you, my sister?
Yes, it does. I think that I know the answer to your question. I could be wrong, but I think it's found in the book of Exodus.
Okay, read it to me.
Okay, give me one second. I'm going to it now. I just had to go to the reference. So I think it's the 12th chapter, and it looks like the 40th verse.
All right, read it.
Okay. It says, "Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years." And
now, did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Yes.
430 years. But Abraham's vision was 400 years, and so we've had two people on the phone, one saying the 400 years was up because they're documenting the Caribbean arrival in the 1500s through Lyndon Johnson signing the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Then the other one is the celebration in Jamestown of the 400 years. So either way, they're both right, because we are talking about a movement that was prophetically designed to wake up people. So neither one of them are wrong. We are both moving in harmony with that ancient Egypt was 430 years to the day. So we know that took place because we are given the date, the time, and the exact number of years. So you're absolutely right, Buster. Yes.
So when the slaves,
I have that article in front of me, the case for reparations, and I'd like to give those numbers too.
Please go right ahead because that's the important and significant. Go ahead, Prince Elrond.
This is from the Atlantic magazine, and one of their writers, feature writers, Ta-Nehisi Coates, and the title of his article is The Case for Reparations, and he opens his article with this information. 250 years of slavery, 90 years of Jim Crow, 60 years of separate but equal, and 35 years of racist housing policy. Now, if we add that, that's 250 plus 90 is 340 plus 60 is 435 years on the timeline that he's coinciding with our experiences. Now, Prince, if you let me just go a little bit further.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
He opens his article quoting from Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, the 12th through the 15th verse.
And how does it read?
And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee before I command thee this thing today.
So you see, as we begin to historically reestablish the Yehuda nation and improve it, tikkunim, by making it better than the time that we went into Jerusalem the first time, all of these things have been set in motion to guarantee that we are being prepared for the wealth that has been stored up. It said the wealth of the wicked has been stored for the righteous. And the Creator has deemed his people the righteous because he said, if thy sins be as scarlet, I will turn them whiter than snow wool. So we're right on time. And we're making sure that we purify our hearts to be right, to redeem ourselves and our people. Any other questions on that particular topic? Sister Yanina, back to you.
All right. I just wanted to make sure the sister was clear. Do you have any other comments?
Oh, no. I was just going to say that I just learned something regarding the scripture that said about us coming over, you know, on the slave ships, how that marked the period of the second 400-plus years. So thank you. Thank you. No, I got the answer to my question, very enlightened. Thank you very much.
No, we are doing this because first, before we talk about anything else, we got to educate ourselves to what is real and what's not. And I don't mind people disagreeing with us because iron sharpens iron. If we made a mistake or an error, we want those who know the truth to speak up to help enlighten us. So those brothers and sisters and men and women that are out there that have additional pieces of information that can validate what we are trying to do, and that is, all we're trying to establish, are we God's people, and if so, what should we be doing knowing that?
All right, all right. We have another question here, area code 832. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. Hello, this
shalom,
is
shalom.
Hey, how are you? This is Sister Yolanda from Houston, Texas.
Yes, my sister.
I have a question about coming back into Israel and resettling the land. I watched a video clipping. It's very brief. I'd like to quickly summarize the video. That way the audience knows what I'm talking about. And then I have three questions. Go
right ahead.
I saw a news clipping about how African refugees, specifically those from Sudan, are being persecuted in Israel right now for having dark skin. In the video, Jewish mobs would crowd around these people and scream insults and throw things at them. Some of the Africans were even arrested and thrown in jail for up to 3 years, all because they were walking while black. And then the Jews have also passed laws denying them the ability to rent housing. Now, my question, I have three of them, is that if we were to go back to Israel now, would we be subject to the same kind of harassment since we all also have dark skin? That's my first question.
Okay, let's do one question at a time so we don't forget. First, don't you, were you born in America?
I was, but not during civil rights.
Okay. Was your parents born in America during civil rights?
Yes.
Were they living in America during civil rights?
They were.
Were they living in Texas during civil rights?
Yes, I think so.
Well, let me just give you a little history of Texas. After the Civil War was over, how long did they keep the people in slavery in Texas?
Ooh, I think until at least another 100 years or so.
No, not that long. But that's why they celebrate June 10th Day, because they kept the black people in Texas enslaved longer. So do a little history of Texas. Second question on that is that the Sudanese coming into Israel as refugees from other countries or from Sudan, they came across a border, and anybody crossing the border illegally is going to be treated illegally, as if they're illegal, not as if, welcome in, this is our country. If somebody, you living in Texas right now, live next door to you, and came in your house, what would you do?
Well, I mean, if I had a gun, I'd probably be shooting at them.
Well, I don't want you to be that rough on them. Just tell them, stick them up, and just don't make a move. Then I might shoot you if you make a false move. But what you would do is get them out of your house by all necessary legal means without doing anything violently against them. I'm simply saying that is that Israel is treating that like their personal house, and it is. It's their land right now, legally. We can argue the fine points of that, but right now the Israelis are in charge of that land, given in 1948 by the United Nations. So they are the legal authority over that land right now. And so they have a right to say who should come in and who should go out. Except the prophetic people got to go in there anyway and subject themselves, just like Dr. King and the Civil Rights Movement, to whatever the injustices may be, because the 13th and the 14th Amendment made the people citizens. And when Johnson signed the Civil Rights laws, it made them equal in public accommodations and everything that law covered. So they had to force the hand of those whites who did not want to recognize the federal government as the supreme law. That's why the president had to send the National Guards in and mobilize them as federal troops and deputize the State Department, the Justice Department officers to bring in the indictments against those individuals as well as institutions that was going to prevent the African from his just rights as citizens of this land. What's your second question?
I guess I was going to comment to what you just said. My concern, I guess, would be those white Jews over there. I mean, can they tell the difference between a refugee and the African-Americans, or are they just going to hit first and ask questions later?
No. Could you tell the difference between a Sudanese and you?
I've never seen a Sudanese, but I would say no.
Oh, yes, you could. When you see a Sudanese, you could tell the difference between
them. You can
them.
Tell the difference.
I'm saying that to simply say we've been there 46 years. They know us. We dress distinctively, we act distinctively, and we speak distinctively.
Okay. So you're saying that...
They're not going to confuse you with a Sudanese.
Okay. I hope not.
I'm telling you, they're not.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that, because when I saw this video, I was kind of a little uptight here.
No, don't get uptight. Just you don't get mad, you get smart.
Okay, and one of the questions, you kind of already asked it, answered it, so I have one more question. Should women and children delay coming to Israel right now?
That's a very good question. The question that the Israelis had to deal with when they first started moving into Palestine, where they made the movie Exodus about, coming into Israel illegal, should they leave their wives and children behind them? And they made a decision no, because they needed to understand what price had to be paid to do that. And that's why Golda Meir became the prime minister of Israel, when women were not rulers in no other lands, because of the justice of the laws of Israel among itself, women were elevated instantly. They were put in the army and became some of the greatest warriors in the Israeli army fighting for freedom, just like the civil rights struggle. We brought children and women into the civil rights struggle. Even as mean as those white races were, the world then got offended when they saw the young people killed in Mississippi, the three boys, the two Jews and the African American. That aroused the conscience of the nation when they saw that the white woman from Detroit, Paolo Luzzuzzo, she got killed fighting for the freedom of black people. It aroused another conscience among people of goodwill. So no, we believe that you should bring your children and bring your wife and your husband, even your husband is scared, and you a strong woman, bring him. We'll give him some backbone when he get there.
Well, my thing is that I'm a single woman, so you know I'd be traveling alone, so I have a lot of security concerns.
You won't be single long if you get there, and the brothers I know will scoop you up and make you whole.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and claim that. So.
And I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah, I just don't want to get off the plane in Israel, you know, thinking that everything's hunky-dory, and then people are spitting in my face and chucking bottles at me. I just don't want to come into that.
Well, one thing about it, everything in Israel is not hunky-dory. That's why Prince Amiel told you that he was watching since a little boy all of the fighting and the wars been going on in Israel up until this very moment. But God don't bring you into a situation in a time of peace. He brings you in time of trouble. So I'm saying, but don't you be afraid and don't you be discouraged, for our God is God. And I believe that if it's in your heart, you're one of those great women that's preparing for greatness and for your children's greatness.
All right. Well, that's all I have. Thank you.
It ain't all I have. When you coming over there to see us?
Well, I spoke to Yahida by email. She said y'all supposed to Yehuda's supposed to be doing some training within 30 days. So
ain't no question about it. I'm just kidding you. I'm just saying that we're ready for the sisters and the brothers to begin to make plans for the Exodus.
All right.
Well,
thank you.
All right.
I'm gonna put her back on. Yes, sir. I want to make an announcement for those who want to ask any more questions. We have a lot of people on the line. Please feel free to push 1. If you have a question, we'll get you right on. Go ahead, Prince Asiel. You have the floor.
Nasi.
Yes, sir.
I want to share something with the listeners, and it's very important. To our listeners, I want to put something out there about our sojourning in Egypt thousands of years ago. A lot of us believe and think that the miracles that Moses performed was for Pharaoh.
But the reality is that the miracles were performed because there were people that were in Egypt so long under the doctrine, under the lifestyles of Egypt, that they lost a connection with their God. That's why it was very important when Moses returned, the Creator said, go to the elders. The miracles was to wake up the mind of the people. One of the most greatest miracles in our modern era, which I want our listeners to see, is the reestablishment of us in the Holy Land. There is no other greater miracle. You're talking about the largest resettling of Africans or Hebrews out into the diaspora that came from that were from slavery into Israel, and successfully. And people always ask, well, how do you know that God wanted you to do that? How do you know that, you know, it was meant by God? We know because we're there. We know because we're still there actively moving. What a great miracle. Now, it's very important that you understand that a lot of us, you know, we're going to be in position spiritually in our heart with not knowing or not believing, but we have to understand that we have to have faith and know that the Creator desires us to be free and back in our land. All we need to do is to have faith, and when it's time to move, to move. Yes, you might be looking at some water. Yes, there's some distance. Yes, it might be darker one side. But you have to understand that the reason why those scriptures are given is to remind us that the Lord tested our heart then, and we're going to be tested now. You know, we have to have faith and know that the Creator desires this for us. The question is, how much did you desire? How much are you willing? Yes, you know, I don't want any of us to make it, paint a picture that we just walk in and holly-dory, our hands are up. You know, what if the Creator requires us to make a sacrifice? Maybe the sun is hot. Maybe we have to wait. You have to remember that we're in this slavery because we put ourselves in this slavery, because we broke and violated the Most High's law. So what is it going to take for us to be back in our land? So we have to have faith. We have to believe. And we have to have the heart of Joshua and Caleb. When Moses sent them out in the land, as Prince Asiel mentioned, there were 12 spies that went in the land. And 10 of them came back and brought evil reports. Oh, they're too big. Oh, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. Oh, we can't do it. And those who lacked faith, they didn't make it in. But for Joshua and Caleb, who said, we can take it. We can do it. They were blessed to see the promised land with their own eyes. We have to muster up our faith and our love and our belief and know that the God of Israel, and we are his children, desires us to put our feet on the land, to live in the land, and to be a light unto the world. And that's what I want to share. And one more thing I want to share with the caller is that let's not be mythical. You know, when you're watching these YouTube links of the Africans and the Sudanese, you're dealing with specifically a national security issue. You're not dealing with, and like the prince said, you know a difference between a Haitian and a Jamaican. You don't want to confuse the two. If you call a Haitian a Jamaican, or you call a Puerto Rican a Mexican, you're going to offend them. There's noticeable differences. You're dealing with African refugees who are not necessarily Hebrews, who have walked into the land. No difference. How would it be in America if Mexicans suddenly crossed the border into America without no papers, without identification? What would America say? There's brothers and sisters in America who are African Americans who are complaining about how they can't find no jobs because the Mexicans taking them or because they're working. So you're dealing, as Prince Asiel said, with a national security. He said this is the government and they have a right to decide who can be in Israel, who not. But what I tell you is that we are walking in holiness and power. They know who we are. There's people who have come over the course of years, celebrities that go right and they touch with us, Israelis that know us, that shake us, some even touch our fringes, touch our faith, that are moved by our presence and love us. And that's all I wanted to say, going on with Nasi Gassiel said.
Thank you so much, Eliana. Back to you, Sister Nina.
Okay, back to the question, one of the questions that I, well, something that I wanted to bring out
when I did some research today after talking to, can you pronounce his name again from Israel one more time?
Yedidiel. Minister Yedidiel.
Minister Yedidiel. I did some research today on the companies that are actually located over in Israel, and there are a lot. Actually, I wrote down some of the jobs. They have marketing positions, system analyst positions, project management, manufacturing, machinists, industrial machine engineers, maintenance workers, electricians, social science and social work and welfare, all kinds of jobs that they have available for people who want to go over. And that is the whole purpose for us joining and making sure that the people, when they do get over there, that they're able to work on the economy. Can you elaborate on that just a little for us, please?
Yes. You see, like any place else in the world, the difference is, first of all, we have been returned prophetically to Israel. And you got a prophetic purpose of why you're going to Israel. Going to Israel to get a job. You're
right,
going to
right.
Israel to set an example of what somebody who's been chastised for breaking our God's laws are going back to be an example of how it works when you maintain his laws and guidelines. And it says, those blessings shall overtake you. So whether it's in the form of a job or a business or an industry that you connect with, it's guaranteed built into the prophetic word. Don't go over there looking for the carnal world to make you happy. Go over there with that heart to serve and be part of that building block of people that's there to establish the prophetic kingdom. And all those other things will be added. Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. I went over there without a job. I had $800, three children, and a wife. And in 2 weeks, I was broke with no place to live, no place to stay. I lived in a kitchen in a small apartment in the city that I went into. My faith was that I didn't just jump up and go over there, that I was guided by a spirit. And I'm here today to tell you I'm still feeling humble that I was able to go to the promised land and sleep in that kitchen and be part of that prophetic vision of God's people being redeemed and returned.
Hey, Prince.
Yes, sir.
I want you to share that story with them when you first came to the border and the people were asking you about what kind of job you wanted.
Well,
so that the
I had just come into Israel and a news reporter was coming down covering those African Americans coming in. And he was interviewing me and he said, what job do you want? I said, Prime Minister. He said, oh, no, seriously, what job are you looking for? I said, you disappointed because I didn't say plumber, electrician, cab driver? I said, Prime Minister. He packed up his microphone and equipment, and he left. He said, these people have come here, and they're very serious. I share that story to say that's what I went to Israel to be, was to be a servant leader to the people of Israel. I didn't go there to be a worker in that sense of the word. That's why when I picked up the portfolio ambassador, I didn't have no budget. I didn't have no money. I didn't have nobody giving me any money. But I got on that plane and left Israel. And the first place I went was New York to talk to the Hebrews there to see if they were serious. Then I went to Philadelphia to see if they were serious. I went to Memphis, king of Israel. I went to Detroit, to Israel and its army. I went to all of the known Hebrews to see if they would help me. And I didn't get no money that would make me want to serve them. So what did I do? I made myself make money because I trusted what I was doing was of God, and I invested everything that I had in me and those like me. So that's what I'm asking the people that's listening who want to go to Israel, to be ready to do the work. And right now, I want you to feel comfortable that you can begin to join Better World Israel for that little monthly fee and begin to prove that you're willing to invest in yourself. That's how you're going to have services ready to receive you and people ready to receive you. The DDL and the staff there don't have jobs. They work for you, the God of Israel. And if God or you don't take care of them and serve them, to help them help us do you, then how you think they're going to do it? So please, right. I'm putting the plea out to y'all today that everybody on this phone call, minimum, send the fee. I think it's $30, $35. I need a couple of hundred of you to join from this radio program so that we would do it, so that you can keep the Yehuda Nation moving and going. We got to help ourselves help each other.
Shadria, in conjunction with that, I want to read this scripture that synopsizes, because one of the things when the call is a lot of our people, they're concerned about those jobs, but I just want to remind them there's a reason why Israel, there's a reason why we're going to Israel, there's a reason why we sacrifice for that land. Because if you go to the land with the wrong premise, you're going to wind up with the wrong result. Because we're a spiritual people under a spiritual mandate. So if it's all right with you, I want to read from Ezekiel 34 and 11.
Please go right ahead.
It says, Israel to be restored, the Davidic kingdom to be set up. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and the dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their hold be there. Shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down with the Lord God. I will seek that which is lost, and bring again that which is driven away, and bind up that which is broken, and will strengthen that which is sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with my judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between the cattle and the cattle between the rams and the eagles. And it goes on to talk about that the reason why we're going to the land is to worship our God. And worship in Hebrew is avodah or avod, which means to work. We're going there to work for our God. We're not going there to look for jobs, even though jobs are there. We're going there to worship our God. So the premise by which we go is as important as going. So I just wanted to put that in the hearing, Prince, and so you can expound on that.
It's very important that The reason that we agreed to do these radio programs is that we wanted to take advantage and help our people help themselves understand that this is not a religious movement. This is a prophetic spiritual movement of the people of God returning back to their land after 2,000 years. We are reestablishing a presence in which we will be obedient to the instructions that we know will bring about blessings. So the prince was absolutely right. We're going there with a definite purpose, and it's not to get a job. But everybody's going there to work. But it's not for something else, for establishing that ensign in the earth again, that those who once was called a byword are now the head leading the world back to the Creator, heaven and earth. Sister Yanina.
Okay. Well, that answers the question. I guess my next question would be, if there's anyone out there that has a question, comment, or concern, please feel free to push one. So for the people that are coming over there, the reason why I guess we were promoting the jobs for them to come over there and to have an income, so the people who are coming have to have some sort of an income, correct?
Absolutely. But they got to have an income over here. It ain't like they over here without an income. Wherever you go in the earth, you got to have an income.
Right.
Or be willing to sell yourself out for an income. That's all a job is an agreement between you and somebody that needs your services.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You have to create a need for your services.
That is true. That is true. So then we're going to be developing entrepreneurs, and they're going to be providing services to assist members of a Better Worlds organization, correct?
The reason that people pay taxes in any country is that the country workers, they call them government workers, have to be paid. So
right.
Better World and the workers with Yehuda Nation have to be paid. Obama gets a salary as president, and he gets free airplane, he gets free limousine service, you get free security, paid by taxpayers, not out of his pocket. Prince Asiel been living for and with the people. I'm a servant to my God and my people. Sister Nina is a servant to her God and her people. Queen Elizabeth is royalty. She personally is worth $100 trillion. 33 trillion of it is hers personally. We're not getting ready to be poor. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to us by God. He just want to know what we're going to do with it.
I know, that's right. I agree with you 100%. Wow.
So the next question, sis, we're ready.
All right. Well, I mean, I think that, like I said.
While we're waiting, Prince El Rum read something about reparations, so I want Samuel to go back to the scriptures on the 83rd Psalm where he stopped. I want to pick that back up now.
All right, I'm headed to it now.
Okay.
Psalms 83 or 82?
83 first, and then I'm going to go to 82.
So you want to read it again?
You didn't complete it. You got to the conspirators. They were all in one conspirator. I want to read the conspirators.
Okay, for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and
now,
the Israelites.
The Edomites was the twin brother to Jacob. And he promised that he would have a perpetual hate against his twin brother. So this is going to be brother against brother. A reality check now. The Israelites are going to have Israelites against them. Everybody ain't going to be with us, even though they're going to call themselves Israelites. Read on.
The tabernacle of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab.
The Ishmaelites was the son of Abraham through the Egyptian Hagar. So there are going to be some Ishmaelites that's not going to agree with us. Read on.
Excuse me. And the Hagarines.
All of these are family members that he's talking about that grew out of this family of God. But because they took different directions and did not want to follow the instructions of God, they all came under the curse. That's why you've seen wars and rumors of wars from time immemorial, because nobody wanted to submit to the laws of the God of creation. Now, go back to the 82nd Psalms now.
The 82nd Psalms, it reads, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty.
Now, God is judging among the strong, the mighty. Read on.
He judges among the gods.
There are some people walking this earth that they call gods. Now, you go to the movie and you see Superman, Batman, the X Factor, and all of those, and they are able to do things that ordinary people cannot do. Moses was a god. The Creator said, I make you God among the people, Moses. And those of us who have submitted to God do God-like things. That's why I told the people, when we were challenged by the most powerful nation on the planet, we stood for the God of Israel, and he delivered. But just like Daniel said when he was getting ready to go into the fiery furnace, he said, guess what, Nebuchadnezzar? My God may not save me, but he's able. But one more thing, I'm not going to serve you.
Right.
Now that's where we at. We're not going to serve Satan. Even if God don't save us, we ain't serving Satan. Read on, 80 seconds.
How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and the fatherless.
Our job is to defend the poor and the fatherless. There was a sister that got on the phone during this radio broadcast saying, I'm a single woman. Well, she got to be protected and defended and respected. She ain't by herself. Read on.
Defend the poor and the fatherless and do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor.
Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. That's our job, to help those that can't help themselves. Read on.
To deliver the poor and the needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked.
We got to break the grip of evil over the people. We know our people are under tremendous pressure. Read on.
They know not, neither will they understand.
The people don't understand what we're talking about right now. You got to demonstrate it. Talk is cheap. But I ain't just talking. I went to Israel with nothing. So I know how God can deliver. I told you I was in jail facing 364 years. I got out. After 40 days, it was overturned. Read.
They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
Everybody is in darkness. They can't see. They don't know where they're going. And the earth is out of course. It's been tilted. The earth is off balance, which means the people are off balance.
Right.
Read on.
I have said.
I have said. Ye are gods.
And all of you are children of the Most High.
And I'm telling you again, you're the children of the Most High God. If your father is God, what are you afraid of? He says the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to me. It is my good pleasure to give you what you want, what you need. Read on.
But ye shall die like men. You shall
but
die
if
like
you don't
men.
Do this, you're going to die like a man?
And you're going to fall like one of the princes.
You're going to fall like any other leader, like Nebuchadnezzar and King so-and-so and so-and-so. They didn't return back to dust, not to be resurrected again. Read on.
Arise, O God, and judge
the earth. Arise, you gods, listening to me. Read on.
And judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
You judge the earth. You say what's right and what's wrong, what's just and what's unjust. You become the judges now to condemn what is evil and to bless what is good. Read on.
That's the end of that, brother.
Say that one more time.
It said, arise, O God, and judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations.
That's what I didn't hear you say. You will be the inheritors of all the nations, and God cannot lie. So that's what this program is to do, to inform you and to strengthen you and to educate you on the power that's latent in your spirit. Because everything you see on the planet, men and women have built it, done it, and developed it. They've made whatever is good, good, and whatever is bad, bad. You are those who've been called to restore it back to its original greatness, paradise. Sister Yanina, back to you.
All right, hallelujah. If there's anyone that has a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push one. We want to hear what you have to say. Let me see what else I can ask you concerning that. So to make sure that I'm clear on everything, what we're doing is we're going over as a people, as a nation, and we're going to develop, the Most High is going to provide for us, and we will have our own resources, and we're going to create our own entities. He was saying something about we were going to be able to create our own clinics for our people. So we would need doctors and people that had skills in dentistry and things like that to actually come over so we can start our own healthcare system. Is that correct?
No. We already did that. We got dentists. We got doctors.
Yes.
We got lawyers. The nation got all of that right now. We just going to add to it and expound on it. We got businessmen and businesswomen. This is not something that we just started 2 weeks ago. What do you think I was running around the world for? To meet the anointed people of God. How do you think Whitney Houston got there? Or Barry White got there? Or Stevie Wonder got there? Or the Neville Brothers got there? Or top basketball players? Or top actors got there? They were ready. They ready now.
Sure.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, I didn't.
Right now, we got top doctors whose message is food is medicine. Because they realize that the diet fighting for the world is the best diet on the planet. And you can eat what you want. But there's a better diet, and then that's the best diet. When we was eating pork, we didn't want the tail or the ear or the foot. We wanted the pork chop or the barbecue rib. When we was eating beef, we wanted the prime steak. So we're not naive. When you got some more money, you went and bought a silk dress, a pure cotton shirt. When we wear natural fabrics, we want the best. And you be the designers of the clothes the way you want them to look. Ain't no standard look. I tell everybody, they talking about Hebrew cultures and African dress. That's just part of what you can wear. You design what you want to wear. For women dress for beauty. I ain't got a problem in putting an earring of the finest diamond earring in the sister's ear or the finest diamond ruby pearl on her neck. Women ain't getting ready to be have a $1.95 dress to wear. That ain't what we talking about. If we call you a queen, the world gonna see that you're a queen. When Sheba went up to see Solomon, and when the doorman opened the door, she thought he was the king. He was dressed so fine. We ain't gonna have no poor brothers trying to take care of no wealthy women. They're going to be wealthy men.
All right. Well, I guess you ladies heard that, didn't you? I hope all you ladies out there that are listening under the sound of his voice are taking notes. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Okay, well, is there any questions, comments, or concerns from this point? If there's anyone that has a question or comment, Brother Adonia, do you have a question or a comment? Please push one.
Yeah.
We have a lot of people on the line, Prince.
I would like to add something to the equation. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, in reference to what the prince was saying, that the world is out of order, we had a mandate that was given to us, and it and how it goes is Shema Yisrael Yahweh Avinu Yahweh Echad, which means hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, our Lord is one. The word for one we use Echad. But when you translate it back, it doesn't mean if. It doesn't mean one like that. It means oneness or unity or synergy. And so when we talk about we have this mandate to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. But how we do that is that all of us personally have to exhibit that, and we as a people have to exhibit that. And that's why I was saying last week that If I have a farm and I lay out a table with all kind of fruits and vegetables and things, that my enemy's children can eat at the table. I'm not gonna discriminate because you don't like me or you don't believe in what I'm saying. Because everybody got to eat. But what I am doing, what I would be doing, is setting an example of how we should treat each other, whether we're black, pink, with purple polka dots.
it's the spirit that gives life, and we always talk about that. You judge a tree by the fruit that it bears, because a bad tree can't bear good fruit, and a good tree can't bear bad fruit. And so that means you don't judge a book by its cover. You have to get to know people. You have to study. You have to get an understanding. You have to come out of darkness into the light of knowledge of everything that you're doing and all the people that you're interacting with, so that as that mandate goes, that our job is to create synergy on the planet, to help bring the planet back to its balance. Prince Othiel, you want to further illuminate that?
Well, you see, the issue is what El Ram, I want him to jump in on this. When I met him, he was not pleased with the Hebrews. So you pick up the story from there, El Ram, for me.
Okay. Again, please, peace and blessings to everyone. When I first met Prince Othiel, I explained my movements as being on a journey. I was searching for a place that I could find peace, searching for an organization, a group of people, a movement where I was comfortable with fitting in, where I could see myself fitting in, where I could relate to the people involved, where I could see that there was some progress to be made to my understanding. So I was in Chicago, and in Chicago at that time, there were a lot of efforts and movements toward justice, equality, better standards of living and education and employment, just a general upliftment of ourselves. So there were plenty of people who had the energy and were making efforts to do so. So I went to a lot of different places. I went to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's meetings. I went to Pan-Africanist Nationalist meetings. I went to the Hebrew camps to see what their approach was, because I wasn't limiting myself to just one aspect of how to be better or how to be free. But what I was disturbed at some of the Hebrew camps, because they went so far back, they went to biblical and the biblical times and beyond, and were trying to, I didn't see how they could progress going so far back and being out of touch with the times that we were in now and not making adjustments necessary so that what they were trying to do and what they could do and what was needed to do in the present time so that it would come and that it would coincide. So I was disturbed about that. I mean, they would go so far back as to, I thought, just remove themselves completely from reality. So that I decided that that's not what I wanted to do, but that this is what the Hebrews want to do. That's not good enough for me. So I continued searching. So when I met Prince Othiel, and you heard him on the phone, and this is how he's been talking for the last 45, 50 years, I got a completely different perspective about being a Hebrew, what it meant, what was required, and then in turn, what the reward would be.
Now, I'm saying that to say that there's all levels of people, but we were to be a nation of prince and princess, priests and priestesses, meaning that we would establish at the very highest level the very best. There's no way to have the best God and have the worst food. There's no way to have the best God and have the worst body. So all of these things are going to be put in the proper perspective as we continue to develop a better world. Better World of Rod has institutionalized the process of getting back on track. Also, one of the sisters in the city of Chicago, Sister Naftalia, is part of the team working to develop the membership drive for those who want to support what we are doing and how we are doing it. We are not going to get involved in anything illegal, immoral, or unjust. We're not going to be expedient and do something that's not correct. We'd rather win the race like the turtle. Just don't never stop and take those small steps till we're able to cross that finish line for our God and our people. So I'm saying, prove that you want a world by supporting a better world. Let's start off with the membership. But if you got $1,000, we ask the question, well, who's going to control the money? You. If you're the accountant, you're the lawyer, you're going to be in control of the legal processes to make sure that all of the resources go where they're supposed to go. You got just leaders, they're going to be in charge. And nobody is prevented from being a servant to their God and their people. So my commitment is to support the better world, to support the Yehuda nation in bridging the gap of years so it don't have to reinvent the wheel. I trust the sister who's in charge implicitly, and she has trusted me with her support of me for what I'm doing. And I'm in support of all of those who are members of Better World, the Yehuda Nation commitment to growth and development. That's all we can continue to say week after week, is that we're committed to the work.
All right, I have someone here that wants to push one. Area code 708. Go ahead, join the air.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, everyone. This is Sister Natalia about Israel. I just wanted to welcome everyone to the members of A Better World, and I wanted to just let everyone, given what's been said already, and Prince Asiel just spoke of, that if there's any additional, we've mentioned this before on a prior broadcast, anyone with additional comments or concerns, my role is multifaceted. I'm basically chief staff administrator with handling many projects, but as he said, trying to bring forth membership and understanding. If people want to ask more questions or have concerns, the registration form is on the website. If people have ideals, we are welcoming those ideals. If people have areas they want to assist or serve in, we gladly talk to people about anything they'd like to do. And I just wanted to say the website again is thmoaw.wix.com/m-b-w-organization. And that's also where you can contact us. There are a few numbers there. And there's also where you can fill out a registration form, and we will contact people and continue the process. And I just want to say again, shalom, shalom, everyone. And it's good to be a part of an Amittai or new vanguard that is bringing forth a kingdom, and it's a prophetic kingdom and movement for our people.
Thank you, my sister. Thank you, my sister. I've taken time out and will continue to take time out to meet everybody that's committed to doing the work. I will personally sit with them. I will personally talk to them telephonically or in person. Now, I've got a brother, Eliyanai, you still on the line?
Yes, I'm right here.
I wanted you to share with the listening audience musically what you did to develop this fantastic choir in the Holy Land, and what is the significance of music to our people from the spiritual perspective?
Well, shalom, shalom again. Grace and peace and blessings to all those who are listening to Israel, first and foremost, and to the Gentiles who are supporting, who are here and desire the same thing, to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My background is in three different areas, but one of the areas is music. And I've been playing music since the early age of 7, 8 as a pianist, went to violin, went to guitar, and in my mid-teens, I end up going into a chorale or choral or choir music and sang with the most top choirs in the Northeast during the 1990s, and some even inspirational directors, also attending Rutgers University and directing their choir. One of the greatest tasks I ever had in the world, which is the most greatest responsibility I had, was directing over 50 voices in Jerusalem. Actually, probably more than that, of the most prominent inspirational choir in the Holy Lands, called the Jerusalem Fire Choir. Now, before taking on that task, my studies have showed that music, first of all, is one of language. We all know that. And that music has been used in diverse areas in aid of endurance, advertisement, meditation, manipulation, inspiration, in different areas. There are certain instruments that affect the body and psychologically affect a person based upon how they played, their arrangement of the notes, even the speed in which certain instruments are played can cause a person to have endurance, or actually can cause a person to become depressive. Certain string instruments pull on the soul and spirit, and certain symbols affect even the vibrations of people, of the iron and metals in your body. Knowing that science and understanding it, I put a great work together called an album called Choose Life. And in the album, there are 10 songs in which I wrote and composed. There's two others that were written by two other writers. But the 10 songs that were written, they were actually written in which to transfer a message and concepts to the world. And we tested this before the album actually became was fully produced. We tested this on the young people. Some of our seniors in Israel were unaware that we were transferring righteously positive thoughts through music, so that when you heard a specific beat or note, the individual automatically think truth, or they would think listen, or they would think to gather together. So what happened was we called and we had a lot of the Hebrew saints together in one area, and what we did is we had the young people who were unknown that they were being involved in experiments, and we had the adults. And all we did is actually play a specific beat. So now when we asked the adults what they heard, they couldn't, all they said is what we heard, an instrument. You know, when we asked the young people all said the word truth, or they said righteousness, or they said another turn that was positive. And because we began to spiritually, in the righteous way, promote the concepts, redemptive concepts, through the music. And the adults were amazed that the children were taking on new concepts through the development of drums and sounds and instruments. We produced an album there, again, called Choose Life. And I'm actually working even still right now to actually help make a more visual aspect in the form of music videos of some of these songs and revising them. Music is one of the most powerful, not forms only of worship, but work and energy that's used. We know historically that music, through the hands of the priests, through the hands of even Miriam when she left out of Egypt, through the hands of David, has been used to stir up or even correct correct spirits. We know today that in America, from the hamburger being sold to the sneakers that's being sold to even politicians to games, that nothing is started without sound. Even when they come together at inauguration, they have to blow instruments. When they play a basketball game, football game, they have to sing the national anthem. Nothing. And you see even people will get angry when that sound is not performed right, because it stirs up a spirit. So if we see in this world that music stirs up a spirit, whether it's in national anthems or whether it's the inauguration or whether it's a time for an organization of a group, what spirit does it stir up among us? So music is very important. And what Nasi Asiel said is I also want to add to the plate not only lawyers and doctors and those. We've already made set a path and are doing these things. We're looking for the right spirits. Nasi Asiel is also on the line, who is a phenomenal singer and guitarist. And you have talented individuals who have been working with people from around the world. I was blessed to perform for the president of Israel, performing the song Hatikva, which is the Israeli national anthem. And the president of Israel, along with another representative, came personally to shake our hands, saying that the way we sung the national anthem in Hebrew was the best they've ever heard in the state of Israel. So, you know, it's very important what music has done. And the choir, we took time and put a spirit and voices and energy to them and bring that fire to them that was evident when you saw them performing. And the spirit they came woke people even more, energized them. Music is a language that is very important in its redemptive plan for our people and for all people around the world.
And what I wanted to say is those that are on this conference call or those that's on the radio, please send your resume of what you sing or what you play to Eli and I, because we're getting ready to reorganize the new redemptive sound in the earth so that
that's
we
correct.
Can begin to put that sound out that will redeem our people. Because just like the other night, they had Lionel Richie, who created We Are the World and made everybody in the world acknowledge that we're getting ready to put a sound out that will bring the people of the earth back together. And just like
that's
he
correct.
Wrote Jesus is Love, we're getting ready to put that sound out that makes everybody happy so that you will be in the forefront of that sound, leading our people back to truth, justice, peace, mercy, and love. Also in the form of music, he mentioned Prince Amiel. Prince Amiel, tell us a little bit about the sounds that you want to write and have been writing so that the people will be inspired to know what direction you're taking us in musically.
Well, I'd like to say that one of the things that I was inspired in coming to the nation through Prince Asiel was to begin to develop a music that speaks to those souls and to those people and that part of humanity that desired peace, truth, justice, mercy, love, and understanding. And we established a company called Positive Music Works. And as a result of that, I was able to get India Ivory to work with me to do this project where we did Israel Skies and a couple of other tunes, Babies to Angels and Keisha, on this project called Push On. And we've been all over the world playing this music and putting this music out for the express purpose of the development of this new world, this better world. I want to relay something to you segue also from Minister Elia Nye's comment about the power of sound. Myself, Prince Asiel, when I was in California, the sitting Minister of Jewish and Diasporic Affairs and Foreign Affairs came to visit us from Israel, and we were supposed to be doing an event where black businessmen would host the event, and he would come in and he would talk about business ventures. And then he was to go over to UCLA and speak to the Jewish student body. So when we went for the event with the black businessmen,
when they opened up the floor, all these brothers start talking about, well, why do the Jews control the music industry? Why do the Jews control the entertainment industry? Why did all the Jews, I mean, are the most powerful lawyers? And so at a certain point, and his name is Minister Sharansky from Israel, he stopped and said, it doesn't look like we're going to discuss business. He said, so what we're going to do, we're going to put that on hold. And what I want to do is I want to talk about these brothers. And he was talking about us from Israel who were hosting him. He said, for the first 20 years in Israel, we didn't know them. They didn't know us. But they had been playing this beautiful music for years in the land. They were traveling all over the land, all over our land, playing this beautiful music. And then that made us stop and want to listen to the lyrics. And when we listened to the lyrics, we found that those were lyrics of inclusion, and those were lyrics of progression. And it made us want to get to know them. And then after that, we came to what we call normalization of relations, and then everything positive began to take off from that, from the music. So what Minister Elia Nye is talking about and what Prince Asiel is talking about is that we as musicians who were the priesthood at one particular point in time, we controlled the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all of those sounds, the harps and everything. And we proceeded with a sound that was relative to the outcome that we were looking for. And what has happened in this day and time, the anti-God forces began to understand the power of sound. And if you look today, sound is everywhere. There's nowhere you can go where there isn't a sound, where there aren't sounds. Where's your elevator? Where's your grocery store? The shopping malls, whatever. On the street, in the bars, anywhere. It's music everywhere. But what has happened is because when they understood the power of sound, the corporations began to use the sound to cause the people, as in the book of Daniel, to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar and worship the golden idol. And so what that represented is that now, instead of pursuing our mandate as the heralders of a new day and a new way, the heralders of peace, truth, justice, mercy, love, and understanding, we're going after gold and silver in these countries that we find ourselves dispersed into, and losing our spirit for the development of our relationship with our Creator. And what we've done is given it into those sounds. So those sounds that motivated our people to vibrate at such a low level, where anything goes physically. So now, when you listen to some sounds, and some major sounds that are on the airwaves every day, all day, a lot of these sounds are causing our people to be debilitated and losing their ability to even relative to self-preservation and the preservation of their families. So that's how powerful that sound is. And so we decided that if there's a sound for how Satan organizes his world of unbelieving mankind, there's a sound that represents Yahuwah Kadosh Israel and his desire to resurrect and to continue to develop a world for his people. And that's what our musicians, our singers, and our artisans represent and will represent going into this next phase of development. So we have been working on the music. And I remember a lot of times people used to say, "Saw, your music's ahead of its time." And I used to say, "No, it's on time because I'm doing it. You just can't relate to it." But I understood what they were saying, because now in this day and time, as we're going to the next level and using that law of attraction, our music now speaks to a people. It speaks to our hearts. It speaks to your desire to be free. It's speaks to our desire to be a people connected with Yah again. And the testimony is that once we started doing the show the Yehuda Project, we decided to put that music out there, and we have been getting nothing but positive comments about the music, and that's all we want to do. Those of us who make sound and deliver sound, we want to make the sound. It creates a better world, a better day, and a better way.
Also, I want to jump in and say I know we're getting close to the end of the program, and the time goes fast when you're having a great time. I just want to make sure that the listening audience knows that what we are concentrating on in the early part of the series of programs that we're going to do is to educate you historically, prophetically, and to bring up to date what's taking place in the world. So from time to time, we're going to have topics that we will discuss and discuss among the listening audience the prophetic moment that we're in so that you'll know what to do and why we're doing it. So, Sister Yanina, we're turning it back over to you, and you guide us to a closing.
All right, not a problem. We have enjoyed the show. The show has been tremendous. The turnout was phenomenal. We had people on the chat line and a lot of people are still here with us on the calls, and they're just listening and taking in all the information. And we just wanted to let everyone know we appreciate your continued commitment and cooperation with us in this endeavor, and that we are working together so that everything that we're doing is for the building up of the nation and allowing our people to go back into the land. And Prince Haciel, we say all respect to you, that we honor the fact that you're here with us, Prince Haciel, and all the princes prince that are on the line. Sister Natalia, we welcome you to the team, and we look forward to working with you as well. And we just want to say to everyone that is listening under the sound of our voice is that we're going to continue to provide service. We're going to continue to provide information, because we want everyone to understand that this is a team effort and we're building a nation together. So if there's nothing else, I'm going to play the song by Prince Haciel and India Irie. We tried to play this last week and it wouldn't play, but it's called Israel Skies, and it is a beautiful song. And then once we do that, we will make the last announcement as to the email addresses and everything so that you can contact us. So here we go.
Under is real sky. wonder is real sky. Under is real sky. Under is real sky. Under is real sky.
Goodbyes, and also, is it okay for Natalia to give the website address again, please?
It's okay for her to give it. I'd like for Prince Amiel to give his email number, and I also like Ellie and I to give his. And next week, I'd like to have, you spoke about doctors, I'm going to see if I can get our chief medical officer, who is the head of the medical department of the county of Cook in the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago, to address us and let us know deep food is medicine, and to see if we can get one of the dentists on who is part of the medical team as well, so that our people will know that we got top spiritual professionals looking after their health, our health, as we continue this journey back to perfection. So absolutely. And then I'd like for Sami L to search out some of the other music that we have, and Ellie and I. And let me just say this. Today is a saddened day for us because we just heard that one of the great pioneers of the community has gone to sleep with the fathers. He was the first national international hero of the community, the Honorable Ben Kayel Hagi Board, the national hero, went to sleep today after being in Israel more than 40-something years, and his family, Anam, and to the other members, children, our deepest love, our deepest sympathy, and most of all, we're not grieving, we're celebrating his life, because he was a great example of strength of the returned warriors of Yah. So yes, Sister Natalia, please give the website address.
Kane, okay. The website address for the I'm a Prime Members of a Better World, thmowaw.wix.com/m-b-dash-organization.
Asi Amiel, give your email. For all those who want to be musicians or songwriters and participate in redemptive music development, please email the Prince.
Prince Asiel, I think he was disconnected, and I wanted to correct something for those who were listening under my voice. I said that the song, I think I said the song was by Prince Asiel.
Don't you dare. Don't make him think I can't sing. I was about to take credit for that. No, go right ahead, sis.
I met Prince Amiel in India, Irie, so please accept my apologies. I did mispronounce. It's Prince Amiel in India, Irie, on that song, Israel Sky. And I think his phone number dropped, and he can't call back in after a certain time. So do you want me to give his email address?
Oh, yes, give his email address, please.
Okay, it is S as in Sam, A as in Apple, R as in Rachel, and then his name is spelled A-M-I-E-L. It's Amiel, A-M-I-E-L, 777 at gmail.com. So it's Sar Amiel, 777 at gmail.com.
Perfect. And Ilya and I, give yours.
And one more thing, too, I want to put out. I'm looking for artists, and I work in production. So we do our own production in Atlanta. I work in film. I'm looking for inspirational, positive artists. I want you to send me an email to Elianai, that's E-L-I-E-N-A-I. That's Edward Larry, Edward Nancy, Alpha Ice Cream, then Israel, I-S-R-A-E-L, at yahoo.com. Send me your name, your information. I'm looking for positive, inspirational artists. I'm looking to produce the right spirit for the world. I am not only a musician, but an engineer and a cinematographer, director of photography. Some movies that have been in the theater, I've worked on set for the last 5 years. So please send it to Elianai Israel at yahoo.com. There's a Facebook page also, Elianai Israel, E-L-E-N-A-I Israel at yahoo.com.
And also, right. I want to continue to announce we're looking for those scholars who've studied the scriptures, because we beginning classes in the Prince Shaliach School of Hermeneutic Studies. Prince Shaliach School of Hermeneutic Studies. And I'm opening up the International Ambassadors research team so that you'll be able to get the training and the experience to articulate wherever you go into the world what the kingdom is at this point of this development. So, my sister, back to you.
All right. If there's nothing else, we would like to say thank you to everyone who attended this episode of the show. We will be here on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. to do the Yehuda Project and the Members of a Better World and the inspirational show that they're doing. We'll be here every Tuesday at 6:30, and we look for all of the support that we can get and everyone who is who's ready to roll up their sleeves and work. We expect a Joshua and Caleb movement into Israel with an expectation to meet up with our God. So if there's nothing else, we'd like to say to everyone, shalom, shalom, and thank you so much for calling in, and we'll see you on Sunday. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Peace and blessings.
Shalom, shalom.